Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the NFL Week 6 episode of the Bacon Bets Podcast. The good times keep on rolling. Another profitable week in Week 5 that now makes it 3 of the 5 weeks so far. We finished with a profit, not a crazy profit, but finished on the week 8-6 for plus 1.69 units. Could have been 9-5, but Jordan Love decided to stink up the place on Monday Night Football. But once again, the road to 272 bets continues. I'm betting on every single game of the NFL regular season. So week 6, we have 15 games with both the Packers and the Steelers on bye. So I'll be giving out my best bet for all 15 of those games. If you're watching this on YouTube, and if you're not watching this on YouTube, I will tell you right now to please subscribe to the YouTube channel. So if you're listening to the audio version of this, head over to YouTube, search up Bacon Bets Podcast, subscribe, like this video, all that stuff. Leave a comment with your best bet for this week as well. But if you are looking at me, you know, are noticing that I'm wearing my Toronto Maple Leafs jersey. This is a football podcast during the football season, but my beloved Toronto Maple Leafs start their NHL regular season this week, so I had to wear my jersey in celebration of that. Is it a celebration? I don't know if it is, because I am already sad before the season has started, because I guarantee you this NHL season for my Maple Leafs will be going the exact same as it has for the past, what, decade it feels like. We're going to have a great regular season, could win the division, wouldn't even be shocked if they win the President's Trophy. Then they'll get to the playoffs and completely collapse. The Toronto Blue Jays and the Toronto Maple Leafs have turned into the same team. All the talent in the world, nothing to show for it. They get to the playoffs and don't show up. Neither team really seems like they really care when they lose. They're just, hey, yeah, I'm going to get paid anyway, so whatever. See you next season. And I'm sick of it. So usually by the start of the NHL regular season, I've convinced myself that this is the Maple Leafs year. I can't even get to that point. Usually the offseason is long enough that I have time to reconvince myself that things are going to be different this year. I never got to that point. And the Leafs' first game is on Wednesday this week, I think. NHL's regular season starts Tuesday. And they could go 50-0 to start the year, and I'm still not going to be happy, because I know for a fact that they will lose in the playoffs, and they'll lose very early. They won't even go in a deep run. But let's try to stay positive here, because this is a football podcast during the football season, and we are sitting on the season at 41-34-2 for plus 4.39 units. So up over 4 units by betting on every single NFL game this season. Let's keep it rolling into week 6. Other recaps for last week. My best bets, always at the end of each podcast, I give out my 5 favorite bets for the week. Last week, they went 3-2, so profitable with the best bets as well. I won the Dolphins, Lions, and Jets. Lost on the Ravens and the Rams. The teaser one as well went Titans plus 8.5 versus Colts, and then Rams plus 11.5 versus Eagles. Both didn't cover on the normal line, but covered on the teaser line. And Survivor pick, I gave out 4 last week, depending on which way you wanted to go. And if you went with 3 of the 4 options, then you're sitting fine. I said the 2 obvious picks were the Lions and Dolphins. Those were sweat-free winners. And then I said if you wanted to get cute with it, then you could go with the Jets or the Packers. If you took Jets, great pick, because they're not going to have a ton of wins this season. If you took the Packers, you're eliminated. So this week, I will once again be giving out my best bets and my teaser bet, and I'll talk Survivor at the end of the show as well. But other than that, I don't have too much in terms of recap because this was now the second NFL Sunday this year that I actually didn't get a chance to sit down and watch the games. I had family visiting. I ran a half marathon Sunday morning on Staten Island, and then I spent the rest of the day with my family. So there were 2 weeks all football season where I was going to be too occupied on Sunday to watch the games. One was a few weeks ago when I had to go to a wedding back in Canada. The second one was this weekend because I knew my family was visiting. So those weeks are behind me. Now, for every single Sunday from here on out, I'll be locked in and not moving off my butt all day as I watch the games. I did catch a little bit of the Falcons game. I'll talk about that when I get to the Falcons week 6 game. But that's just about it. Nothing extra other than that. Let's keep the good times rolling here. Let's see if we can make it 3 straight profitable weeks. Subscribe to the podcast, rate and review the audio version of it. All that stuff helps me out tremendously. Thank you all so much for listening. Let's jump into it. This is the NFL Week 6 episode of the Bacon Bets podcast. The road to 272 bets continues.
No, Lisa. The only monster here is the gambling monster that has enslaved your mother. I call him Gamblor, and it's time to snatch your mother from his neon claws.
More bacon than the pan can handle. 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 Utility man. Pourquoi?
Thursday night football this week in AFC West Showdown. And this is already one of my best bets of the week. I think this is a no-brainer. It's a square bet. It's the obvious bet. It is the right bet. It is the Kansas City Chiefs minus 10.5 against the Denver Broncos. I got it at minus 108 as well. So pretty decent odds here. I know Travis Kelce dealing with an injury. I would guess it hasn't been confirmed. I would guess that he's probably not going to play this game, especially with it. I mean, it should be an easy win for the Chiefs, even with him not on the field. And with him not on the field, I still think the Chiefs absolutely blow this Denver Broncos team out of the water. I don't think Patrick Mahomes has ever lost to the Broncos. And this is the worst version of the Broncos that he's had the chance to play against, because his Broncos defense specifically is allowing opposing quarterbacks to complete 77.27% of passes against them. They're also giving up 8.5 yards per pass attempt. Those two are obviously both the worst marks in the NFL. Specifically in the opponent yards per pass attempt, they're giving up half a yard more per throw than the next worst team. So you have a historically bad secondary and pass defense that now needs to hit the road on Thursday Night Football to take on the best player in the NFL, the best quarterback in the NFL, and the reigning MVP in Patrick Mahomes. I don't care that Travis Kelce probably won't be in this game. I could play receiver for the Chiefs in this game, and Mahomes would find a way to get me the ball. This Broncos defense is atrocious. You can go ahead and toss in the fact that Chiefs have the best defense that they've had under Mahomes in quite some time. I don't see how the Broncos can stay in this game, but I think I want to say, didn't they give the Chiefs a scare at some point last season? Possibly. But even, I mean, there seems to be some turmoil now in the Broncos between Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. I don't think they get along. Their defense has suffered over the past couple weeks. I'm surprised this is not a 2-touchdown spread in this game, to be completely honest. I assume Travis Kelce likely being out has to do with that. Maybe it being a short week for the Chiefs might have something to do with that. Their offense actually hasn't been quite as good as they've been in past years, at least so far. But still, the Broncos are one of the worst teams in the NFL, specifically the worst secondary in the NFL. I just can't imagine Mahomes getting slowed down against the secondary. I think he could throw for a million yards against this team. And I would feel so stupid betting on the Broncos. I will not do that. I will take the Chiefs to win and cover a 10.5 point spread, minus 10.5, minus 108. Moving on to Sunday's game, the first Sunday game, yet another London game. I guess I never really kind of conceptualized how many Europe games there are this season, but I think we have let me see if I can bring this up. I think we have a Europe game like every Sunday for the next like 5 weeks. This might be a hot take. I might be out on London games. I need some time in the morning to kind of wake up and become a human being before I'm sweating out bets. And we already have 7 hours of commercial-free football starting at 1 p.m. and then the Sunday night football game. The early game just seems like overkill. So we got 9:30 a.m. still like I'm barely awake on a Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Ravens-Titans this week. Oh, the next week we do not have one. Maybe I should just look up schedule of NFL games in Europe. Only 5 international games. Take back everything that I said then. Still, I think 5's too many though. Week 4, week 5, week 6. So it is 3 weeks in a row. It has felt like a lot. But then week 9, week 10, we get 2 games in Germany. In Deutschland. One of them being one of the best games of the year, the Dolphins and the Chiefs. What a shame to waste the Dolphins and the Chiefs playing in at Frankfurt Stadium in Frankfurt, Germany. What a waste. So I'm glad this week is the last one for at least a handful of weeks. With that being said, I will take the Baltimore Ravens -3.5 and -105 against this Tennessee Titans team. I know the Ravens just lost to the Steelers. They were one of my best bets last week. But I think that's just one of those games that you kind of have to wipe from your memory in terms of the Ravens. Because from what I understand, now, like I said, I didn't get to watch much of the games on Sunday. But they did outgain the Steelers in yards per play. Apparently there was a ton of drops, some ill-timed turnovers. Just one of those games where things weren't clicking for the Ravens and somehow the Steelers pull it off again. This has been ever since the Steelers been under Mike Tomlin. They just find ways to win weird games where they're not the better team. I don't know how they do it. It reflects in his record as an underdog. He just continuously wins games that not only are they the worst of the two teams, but they also get outplayed in those games, but somehow they still win them. My point being, the Ravens are still a top-tier football team, in my opinion. Net yards per play, 3rd in the NFL, behind only the Dolphins and the 49ers. Number 3, it is the Ravens. Their defense has been completely lights out all season, specifically against the pass, which surprisingly, the Titans, that's kind of why they've managed to win a couple games this season, is because their pass attack has actually been pretty solid, but now the Ravens defense allows the fewest yards per pass attempt, giving up just 4.4 yards per throw. So I don't know how the Titans are going to be able to move the ball offensively against this Ravens defense. If there is one concern I have, it is that the Titans have done a good job of stopping the run this year, and we do know how much the Ravens rely on the run game. But still, that's not enough for to kind of change my opinion about the outcome here. I would set the Ravens as 5-point favorites. As of recording this podcast, they are 3.5-point favorites. So I will take the Ravens -3.5 and -105. Vikings-Bears, NFC North matchup, I'll take. I'm on a lot of road teams this week, by the way. A lot of road teams, especially in the early afternoon slate. I'll take the Vikings there. One of those road teams, I'll take them at -3, -102. And already, since I locked in these bets about an hour or two ago, this is one line that has moved against me already. I bet it at -3, -102. You can already get it at -2.5 under that magic number of 3. So if you're listening to this at all, Tuesday morning, probably later in the week as well, you're going to get a better number on the Vikings than what I got. But I got them at -3, -102. I'm shocked by this. This is my number one best bet of the week. I do not know how the Bears are now underdogs of less than a field goal. I don't get it. I know the Vikings are 1-4, but this Vikings team, and I might just be falling victim to just net yards per play, and I might keep getting caught up in that, and I might just keep betting on the Vikings week after week, and they might just keep losing for me. But still, 1-4 record, 6th in the NFL in net yards per play. Curious where they rank in EPA per play, some of the more advanced analytics, but I still think against this Bears team, even though the Bears are coming off a mini bye week, I still think they are not a good football team. They're coming off a win. Let's not allow that win against the shitty Commanders to fool us into thinking that this team, that this Bears team is actually good. Vikings either 17th or 18th in EPA per play, 21st in opponent EPA per play. So the advanced numbers don't love the Vikings as much as my straightforward net yards per play numbers. Still, this Bears secondary, I was talking earlier about how the Broncos secondary is so bad. The Bears secondary is the second worst secondary next to the Broncos. 31st in opponent yards per pass attempt. Now, I know Justin Jefferson unlikely to play in this game. I think the betting line reflects Justin Jefferson not playing. I think if he is reported to play, this line, I would guess, would jump up to about 4.5. But that's not going to scare me away, because it's not like they don't have other receivers. KJ Osborne, Jordan Addison, they have other TJ Hawkinson. They have other guys who can catch the ball. It's not like it's Justin Jefferson and then nobody else, especially against this Bears secondary. And like I said, the Bears win on Thursday night last week. I'm not changing my opinion about them. I still think they're one of the worst NFL teams. I would set this line at Vikings -4. I don't know if I could get to 4.5 without Jefferson. With Jefferson, I'd set the Vikings at like 6.5, 5.5. So at 3, we're the current number of 2. Absolutely love the Vikings. This is my number one best bet of the week. So Vikings -3, -102 against the Bears. AFC South matchup. I believe this is the first rematch that we're going to see this season. The Colts and Jaguars played in week 1. Jaguars, I believe the final score, they won by a score of 31-21. It is the rematch now in week 6, except for it is now going to be Gardner Minshew. Looks like Anthony Richardson is going to be out for a few weeks. It looks like it'll be Gardner Minshew playing quarterback. I will take the 4 points with the Colts. So Colts +4, -110 against the Jaguars. I know the Jaguars played them and won in week 1, but I'm not going to put too much stock in that game, because now it should be a different story with Gardner Minshew. And I do believe Gardner Minshew is actually the better quarterback for the Colts in the short term. Now, playing, you can make the argument that playing Anthony Richardson over the long term is going to be better for this team, because he's going to, you know, get game action, learn, make mistakes and learn from them. But if we're evaluating how good a team is going to be this week in week 6, this team led by Gardner Minshew, in my opinion, is a better team than being led by Anthony Richardson. That notion is backed up by EPA per play in terms of quarterbacks. Gardner Minshew is 17th in EPA plus CPOE composite. Let me switch to adjusted EPA per play. I like that one a little bit better. The site doesn't like it when I click on things. So it's not going to let me sort by adjusted EPA per play. So let's stick with EPA plus CPOE composite, which is, if I can get a definition here, adjusted EPA plus CPOE composite based on coefficients which best predict adjusted EPA per play in the following year. All this stuff is on rpsdm.com. Gardner Minshew, 17th. Anthony Richardson, 29th ranked in terms of the NFL in that stat. So Gardner Minshew is the better quarterback this season for the Colts. In this game for the Colts, he's the better option. I firmly do believe that. So I think maybe they can't win this game, but I think they can keep this game pretty close. Also, I'm not high on the Jaguars. I was high on them heading into this year. I know they're coming off 2 straight wins. I know they're 3-2. I know they just beat a very good Buffalo Bills team. But still, they were outgained in both of those games against both the Bills and the Falcons. In terms of yards per play, the Falcons had more yards per play than the Jaguars in their first London game. This past London game, they were outgained 5.8 yards per play to 7.2. Now, I know that doesn't mean everything. Like, for example, the Bills were terrible on third down. That kind of cost them. Yards per play is certainly not the be-all, end-all. But it makes me not necessarily want to buy stock in the Jaguars just because of these last 2 wins. I've still yet to be impressed by the Jaguars, even in week 1 against the Colts. The Colts kind of had chances to win that game as well. I've yet to be super impressed by this Jacksonville Jaguars team. I'm curious where Trevor Lawrence lands on this stat of EPA plus CPOE composite. He is 20th in the NFL. Hasn't played as good as you might think, especially coming off those 2 big wins. This happens sometimes when a team beats a really good team, like the Jaguars beating the Bills. They get a little bit overvalued. That is a spot, unless they dominated them from a statistics standpoint, that is a time where I like to fade those teams the next week, sell high on them, and I think this is a bit of a sell high spot on the Jaguars. So I'll take the Colts +4 in this AFC South matchup. The next game is my money line underdog pick of the week. Now, I've struggled hitting underdogs, especially big underdogs lately, so instead of taking a huge underdog this week, I'm going to take a little bit of a smaller one for my underdog pick of the week. It is the Seahawks +136 to upset the Bengals. 2.5 point underdogs. I will take them on the money line in this one. The Bengals, speaking of teams, I was just talking about the Jaguars who have been winning games despite getting outgained in yards per play. So are the Bengals. The Cardinals outgained them 5.2 yards per play to 4.8 yards per play last week. The Bengals still managed to win, mostly because they won the turnover battle. And Joe Burrow did look better from what I've seen. He did make a few big throws when he needed to. But with that being said, this Bengals team is still bad. Still second last in the NFL in net yards per play, minus 1.4. Only the Giants are worse in net yards per play. EPA numbers are not good. The Seahawks are by the way, 10th in net yards per play, plus 0.3. And Seattle also outranks them in rush EPA per play, drop back EPA per play, and opponent rush EPA per play. So the Seahawks, whether you look at the record, whether you look at the advanced numbers, whether you look at just straight up yards per play, the Seahawks are the better football team. They are also coming off a bye week. Usually that does help teams, a little bit well-rested, a little bit longer time to game plan. This early in the season, I don't know how much a bye week is going to help a team in terms of rest. But still, Seahawks coming off a bye week. Bengals have not been impressive, in my opinion. Even in their wins, have not looked impressive. I think actually the wrong team is favored in this game. I know the Bengals are 2.5-point favorites. I would probably set the line with it being in Cincinnati. Probably pick them, maybe even a point in favor of the Seahawks. So I think there's a ton of value in this game, and I'm going to back Seattle to win this game outright. I still think, even with how bad the Bengals have been from every metric and statistic you want to look at, I still think they're being overvalued because people expect the old version of the Bengals. I don't know if we're getting that old version. And until we do, I'm going to bet against them. Or maybe I'm not going to bet against them every week, but I'm not going to lay points on them. There's very few teams I would lay points on with the Bengals. One of those teams certainly is not the Seattle Seahawks. So give me the Seahawks on the money line against the Cincinnati Bengals. The next one, my next bet for today is a plug your nose and click submit on the bet on your sportsbook, because this is the ugliest bet of the week by far. It is the Panthers plus 13.5 minus 105 against the Dolphins. Yuck. This is not going to be a fun bet to place. This is not going to be a fun bet to watch, but I think it's the right bet. I know I'm betting on a team that you can make an argument is the worst team in the NFL. I'm betting on them against a Dolphins team that has set the record for the most yards gained through the first 5 weeks of an NFL season. A historic offense. I don't care, though. The Dolphins have issues. We saw those issues 2 weeks ago. We can't forget what we saw 2 weeks ago against the Bills, which is their defense is not a good defense. Their defense is a subpar defensive unit. 18th in opponent yards per play, 22nd in opponent EPA per play. They are a below average defense. Now, their offense has been good enough that they're going to win games and win a lot of them by a lot of points. They're so good that how well their defense plays doesn't actually matter. But when we're talking about covering a two-touchdown spread, that's tough to do. Now, I think the Giants are the worst team in the NFL, and the Giants had a chance in the final few plays of the game to score a touchdown. They were down in the red zone. They score a touchdown. It would have been a backdoor cover for the Giants. They didn't, thankfully, because I was on the Dolphins. But that just goes to show you, if the Giants, who are, in my opinion, the worst team in the NFL, have a chance to backdoor cover, I'm not going to now lay points again, even more points this week, on a Dolphins team against the Panthers, because I think the Panthers are better than the Giants, and now we're laying more points. Last week, I think the Dolphins, I think it ended up being a 12.5 point spread, I think, by the time it closed. Yes, I got it at a 10.5 point spread. So now we're laying more, at least, even if you go based on the closing number, at least a point more this week compared to last week. No, not doing it. Not doing it. Now, the Panthers have actually had some bright spots this season, believe it or not. For example, third down, both offensive and defensive third down rates have been very good. 13th in third down conversion rate on offense. Actually, second in the NFL in opponent third down conversion rate on defense. That's huge when it comes to covering big spreads. They force opponents into a fourth down situation on 29.82% of third downs against them. That is massive. If they can stop the Dolphins' offense even just a handful of times and force them to punt, huge. Huge, huge, huge. They're not going to win this game. Absolutely not. Be one of the biggest upsets in NFL history. But 13.5 point spread, I actually think their offense has looked a little bit better each week. A little small improvements. I'll take the Panthers plus 13.5, minus 105 in this one. Saints-Texans. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Give me the same bet we've been placing on the Saints, and I will continue to bet this for the foreseeable future. It is the Saints-Texans under 41.5. The under is now hit in 11 straight games for the Saints. I see no reason to change things up now. They're third in opponent yards per play. Fourth in opponent yards per play. Third in opponent points per play. Seventh in red zone defense. Third in third down defense. They are an under bettor's dream. Even last week where their offense finally seemed to click, their defense played to a shutout. Didn't allow the Patriots to score a single point. If you're not going to let your opponent score a single point, pretty good chance the under is going to hit. Now, I will say I'm not confident in this play because I actually don't really know what to think of this Texans team. This Texans team, when you look at the metrics, are below average at everything. They're not great at anything. They're not bad at anything either. You could convince me in almost any game that the Texans are a good team to bet on to cover. You could convince me that we should fade the Texans. You could convince me to bet the over. You could convince me to bet the under. I actually think I bet an over on Texans Colts earlier this year, I believe, and that hit. So there are a small handful of teams in the NFL that I just haven't gotten a good grasp on how to bet them, and the Texans are one of them. Usually by week five, I've figured out most teams. I don't feel like I've figured out the Texans. So I'm taking them out of the equation, and I'm looking at the Saints, and they're an under machine. Maybe it's square to just say, hey, this under has hit 11 straight times. Let's bet it again. But that's what I'm going to do. I'll take the under again, and I might just bet the under in every Saints game until it doesn't hit. Saints-Texans under 41.5, minus 110. Browns and 49ers. I'm going to take the Browns in this one, actually. Plus 5, minus 108. I'll take them as home underdogs in this one, which is hard to do because the 49ers have looked like arguably the best team in the NFL, the most complete team in the NFL. But I hesitate to lay this many points on them because they're going up against the best defense in the NFL and the Browns. Because the Browns, first in opponent EPA per play defensively, first in opponent yards per play. And most importantly, second in opponent yards per carry, keeping teams to just gaining 3.2 yards per carry. That is huge because no team runs the ball more than the San Francisco 49ers a season. 54.4% of their plays are run plays. Now, that might be a little bit skewed because they're up by so much, they just run the ball to kill clock in the second half. But still, the Browns defense has been by far the most dominant team or the most dominant defense in the entire NFL. I'm fine to bet against the Browns, especially if they're favorites or underdogs of 3 or fewer points. But I hesitate to bet against the best defense in the NFL getting 5 points at home. I say that the 49ers may continue to dominate every single team that they play and win by 40 points. And also, we don't know if Deshaun Watson's playing. It might be Dorian Thompson-Robinson again, which would be tough. But I'm going to take the points with the Browns. I might be big-braining this bet. Sometimes I overthink bets, I big-brain it, and I should just take the obvious bet. This could be one of those instances. But I've already locked it in, I can't change it. Browns plus 5, minus 108 for me in this one. We're about halfway through the games. So I'm going to talk Falcons, Commanders, then the rest of the late afternoon, and then the late afternoon games, and then Sunday night and Monday night. And then I'll give out my best bets, but we are going to take a quick break. I'll be back in just one moment.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's keep things moving. It is my beloved Atlanta Falcons taking on the Washington Commanders. And I will say, I did get a chance to watch some of the Falcons game this past week. And that is how I want the offense to look like. They have now earned my faith back in them. Once again, I'm back to them. They're not a Super Bowl contender. They're not an NFC Championship contender. They are a contender to make the playoffs. And I have faith in them now because of what I saw from their offense. Now, I know they only won on a last-second field goal. I think they could have won this game by a wide margin. They had two bad fumbles on drives that could have resulted in points that kind of killed them. But they outgained the Texans 6 yards per play to 5.4 yards per play. But it was more how they did it. They did a perfect mix of run versus pass. They didn't just blindly give the ball to Bijan Robinson. They let Tyler Allgeier run the ball a little bit. Actually had more carries than Bijan. Don't know how I feel about that, but still is 17 to 14 is pretty close. Desmond Ridder, after everyone started losing faith in him last week, 28 for 37, 329 yards, 8.9 yards per throw, one touchdown. Kyle Pitts, 7 catches, 87 yards. Drake London, 6 catches, 78 yards. This is the dream Falcons offense. This is what you want to see. You want to see your running backs putting in some work. You want to see Desmond Ridder being efficient. You want to see your top two weapons at wideout and tight end, Kyle Pitts and Drake London, catching balls and being involved in this offense. Meanwhile, their defense shut the Texans down. Couldn't be happier with the result this week for the Falcons. Now, that might make you think that now I'm going to back them to beat the Commanders. But I actually think the spread is set at the right number. I think 2.5 is the right spread. If it goes either way, if you're listening to this later in the week, if it's down to 1.5, then I would love the Falcons. If the number gets up above a field goal, I actually kind of like the Commanders. So because when I went to go bet on it, the spread was set exactly the way I thought it should be, I'm going to look to the total instead. I'm actually going to go over. I've bet the under now, I think, twice in Falcons games. This time I'm going to bet the over, 41.5. It is a low number, but I like what I saw from the Falcons offense last week. If they can keep this type of offense moving forward, this type of play calling and efficiency, they're going to start putting up some points, especially that they get to take on a Commanders defense who can't stop the run. And if you can't stop the Falcons run game, you're going to be in for a long day. 27th in the league in opponent yards per carry, allowing 4.8 yards per rush. 28th in opponent EPA per play. So the Commanders defense overall has not been good. The pass rush is probably their biggest strength. That does concern me a little bit, but I did see some, instead of Desmond Ridder having play action, 6-step dropbacks, a lot of the plays the Falcons ran this past week, passing plays, were quick developing plays to get the ball out of Desmond Ridder's hands quick, which I love to see. So I'm not too concerned about the Washington Commanders pass rush. But also I think their offense, the Commanders offense, is better than they showed last week against the Bears. I think their depth of receiving talent they had is going to do some work against the Falcons secondary, which at the top end is good and their safeties are very good, but they still don't have a really good number two corner, or they could even attack the nickelback a little bit. And I think the Commanders offense is going to be able to take advantage of that a little bit. So I actually think with the total being in the low 40s, I think the Commanders are actually a great over team. I think the over is 3-2 in their games this season, but I could see them by the end of the year being like 10-7 to the over. Yeah, I set the total of this game closer to like 43.5, 44. So 41.5, I think this is great value. I will take the over. I will root for points and for my Falcons to win over 41.5 between the Commanders and the Falcons. Moving on to the late slate of games, sticking to total bets here. It is the Patriots against the Raiders. They're going to take under 41. Pretty straightforward handicap here. The juice on this I got is minus 110. Only one book had odds as of right now. DraftKings is the only one that put odds back up since the end of the Monday Night Football game, so that is where I bet it. And it's gone up half a point. So I've already lost CLV on that bet. Or did I write it down wrong? Yes, sorry, I wrote it down wrong. I got a 41.5. My mistake. Patriots, Raiders, under 41.5. No, I didn't write it down wrong. 41. God damn it. Minus 110. It's gone up half a point since I bet it literally 2 minutes ago. I didn't play the bet until I recorded the last segment because the odds weren't posted yet. So I got it at the opening line and it's moved up half a point. That sucks. You can get it at a better number. Good news. You'll get this bet at a better number than I did. I got under 41. I don't think any total in any game involving the Patriots should be in the 40s. I don't see how you can set this total in the 40s in a game involving the Patriots. Their offense might be the worst in the NFL. Last by a significant margin in EPA per play, 28th in yards per play. Who knows who's quarterback for the team? Actually, the amount of pick sixes Mac Jones throws, then if they play Mac Jones, it might actually hurt the under because he's going to throw a million pick sixes again. And then defense, their defense is still very good. 5th in opponent yards per play, 13th in opponent EPA per play. So top tier defense, maybe not top tier, but at least top half, like top 50%, top 30% defense. Arguably worst offense in the NFL. How can you set a total in the 40s? Last week against the Saints, the total was 39.5. That went under. You set the total in the 40s here against the Raiders. I don't get it. Patriots also 28th and third down offense, 7th and third down defense. So it's not like third down lends well for a high scoring game. Until the Patriots either start looking like a competent offense or their defense falls apart, I'm going to continue to bet unders in Patriots games until I see them in like the 37-38 range. Give me under 41 minus 110 between the Patriots and the Raiders. Eagles-Jets. I'm going to lay the points to the Eagles in this one, minus 6.5, minus 110 against the New York Jets. I'm still not convinced the Eagles are playing as good as they did last year. They continue to win games. They're undefeated, but they haven't looked extremely impressive. Even last week, I know I took the Rams to win outright. The Eagles won by 9 points, I believe. But still, they're winning games, but not in a fashion where I'm like, oh, this Eagles team should be the Super Bowl favorite. Their defense has not been nearly as good as it was last season. So my initial thought was to actually take the points with the Jets, but then I started looking at the Jets more, and actually the Jets defense, which is a big reason why I bet on them a lot last year, has actually not been good. A very average defense so far this year. 18th in opponent EPA per play, 15th in opponent yards per play. This isn't the top five, top three defense we saw last year. And I'm not going to bet on the Jets with Zach Wilson, despite him looking pretty solid last 2 weeks. I'm not going to bet on the Jets with Zach Wilson unless they have a top five defense. Right now, they don't have a top five defense through 5 weeks. That's a fact. Also, they're 25th in opponent yards per carry. So teams are running the shit out of the ball against the Jets defense this season. Not a good sign when you're taking on the Eagles, who can run the ball really well. I think this is a bad stylistic matchup for the Jets. If the Jets defense was what it was last year, then I would take the 6.5 points, but I'm not going to. I'll lay the 6.5 points on the Eagles, minus 6.5, minus 110. Rams-Cardinals. I might just be betting on the Rams every single week this season. I love the Rams. I love what their offense does. I still think they're undervalued in the betting market. I will take minus 6, minus 110 for the Rams against the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals might actually be regressing to where we expected them to be heading into the season. They looked bad last week against the Bengals. Josh Dobbs had his worst start of the season. Their defense has shown plenty of holes, specifically their secondary. 29th in opponent completion percentage. Teams are completing 72% of their passes against them. 25th in opponent yards per pass attempt. That's not going to be good against the Rams, who we know, especially with Cooper Kupp now, have one of the best pass attacks in the entire NFL. I think the Rams can exploit them through the air. I think the Cardinals' offense won't be able to do enough to keep pace. I will lay the 6 points on the Rams in this NFC West showdown. Lions-Buccaneers, it is time for us to accept the Lions are actually a very good team. Third best team in the NFC right now. I don't think you can argue that. And I wouldn't hate to even make the case that they might be better than the Eagles. I'm not going to make that take just quite yet, but that is on take alert. That is official take alert for possibly next week. Still 49ers are the best team in the NFC, though. But I'm going to lay the 3.5 points with the Lions. The Buccaneers are not as good as the respect they're getting in the betting market. And specifically, the Buccaneers have to live or die with Baker Mayfield and the receivers because they have the worst run and game in the NFL. They didn't have a run game last year either. They're dead last in yards per carry. So if you can't run the ball, then that means they're going to have to try to rely on your quarterback to win games for you, and your quarterback is Baker Mayfield, a guy who I like, who I've defended Baker Mayfield, but I like Baker Mayfield a lot more when he has a run game that he can lean on a little bit. He does not have a run game here. He has to take on a Lions defense, which is actually a very good defense. I wasn't sold they had improved in the offseason, but they clearly have. Sixth in opponent yards per pass attempt, 10th in opponent EPA per dropback. So they have a top 10 pass defense going up against Baker Mayfield. I just don't think the Buccaneers can hang with them. Lions also fourth in the NFL in net yards per play. Only the Dolphins, 49ers, and Ravens are better in net yards per play than the Lions. I'm a believer. Give me the Lions -3.5 at -102 against the Yucks. Which brings me to Sunday Night Football, which brings me to asking, why in sweet hell do we have to... Oh my God, I can't even say the words, it's killing me. That's how the Giants make me feel. Even having to prepare to talk about the Giants makes me feel sick. Sweet, sweet boxed water. The Giants might be the worst football team of all time. They might be the worst football team of all time. They suck. Their net yards per play is -2.3. That is the worst in the NFL by almost an entire yard. -0.9 worse than the next worst team in net yards per play. And yet this is, what, the fifth primetime game we have to watch of them? I think, and this is week six, I think they've played in a primetime game 4 of the 5 weeks so far. Am I wrong? Giants played in on Sunday night. I was there against the Cowboys in week one. Worst game ever. Didn't play in primetime week two. Played Thursday night football week three. Played Monday night football week four. Didn't play primetime last week. So this is their fourth primetime game. They've played, of the 5 weeks so far, they've been primetime 3 games. We have to watch them in primetime again. Do we have to watch them in primetime again anytime the rest of the year? Oh, December 11th, we get treated to a primetime game between the Packers and the Giants. I can't wait. Circle your calendars for that one. That one's going to be great. That one's going to be fun. I hate this team. They suck. Also, you shouldn't be scared to lay big points on the Bills, because the Bills like to crush teams, even though they lost last week. Average win, they're 3-2, but their average win or average scoring margin is +15.8. This is going to be a shit show. This is probably going to be a game we can shut off at the end of the third quarter. Oh, I didn't bring up my pick graphic. Let me bring it up. Bills -14, -110. Why? Can the NFL please flex this team out of primetime? God damn, I hate this team. They stink. We have to watch them on Christmas, too. What a nice Christmas gift that'll be, getting to watch the Giants play in probably a solo game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, joy. Joy to the world. Ugh. Bills -14, -110. I'm not betting on the Giants. I've done it a couple times this season already. Not doing it. Monday Night Football. It is the Chargers and the Cowboys, and you guys already know who I'm going to take. I'm going to take the Los Angeles Chargers +2.5, -110 against the Cowboys. I told you guys exactly what was going to happen this past week. I wish I took an alternate line on the 49ers on Sunday Night Football. I tweeted this out after the game. I'd hate to take a victory lap for rightfully calling the Cowboys frauds the past 2 weeks. And then I posted a screenshot of my NFL official fraud power ranking where I put the Cowboys in number one. And this is what I said. The Dallas Cowboys, once again, top my list of most fraudulent teams in the NFL. Are they good? Yes. Are they great? No. Actually, I might be wrong. They might not even be good. They're second in the NFL in takeaways per game, and a good chunk of their points in their 3 wins a season have come on the defensive and special team scores. Sure, there's some skill to forcing turnovers, but I firmly believe they're more often the result of the opposing offense making a mistake than the defense making a play. The Cowboys are just ninth in the NFL in net yards per play. Despite playing the easiest schedule in the NFL the first 4 weeks, they're in for a rude awakening on Sunday night when they play an actual good team, the 49ers. And what happened? The Cowboys lost by a final score of 42-10, 32 points. Listen, guys. When you're right, you're right. And I was right about this. If there's one thing I'm good at when it comes to sports and covering sports is finding what teams are fraudulent. I do it in every sport. I do it in football. I did it 2 years in football with the Titans, called that to perfection. I did in the NHL this past year. I said the Bruins are one of the most fraudulent teams in NHL regular season history. What happened? They lost in the first round to the 8th seed in the Panthers. This year I said the Cowboys are fraud. I can't even rank the Cowboys. The Cowboys have proved my point so quick that I can't even rank them in my power rankings anymore because now everyone else already knows that they're frauds. So you can't, if everyone thinks they're frauds, you can't be a fraud. So by definition, the Cowboys aren't even frauds anymore. They just stink. I'm not gonna bet on the Cowboys in this game. Chargers coming off a bye week. Cowboys stink. I mean, this is the second best team the Cowboys will play on their schedule. And the teams they beat up on earlier, the Giants, Jets, and Patriots, might be the three worst teams in the NFL. And then they lost to the Cardinals, who are down there as well. In hindsight, how easy of a first four games did they have? The Giants, the Jets, the Cardinals, and the Patriots. Holy shit. I should just be taking Chargers money line, but I'll take the 2.5 points with the Chargers on Monday Night Football. The Cowboys are not good. By the way, I wrote in that quote that they were 9th in the NFL in net yards per play heading into this past week. They got their asses beat so bad that they dropped from 9th in net yards per play down to 20th. Oh boy. Not good. Which actually is right below the Chargers, who are only 19th, so I'm not huge believers in Chargers anyway, either. That's probably why I'm not taking their money line. But I'll take the 2.5 points. I'll tell you that at home on Monday night. Give me Chargers plus 2.5, minus 110. There you have it. Those are my 15 plays. I will recap them, go through them all, and then I will give you my best bets, my teaser, and talk Survivor. So starting with Thursday Night Football, if my voice can hold up here. Chiefs minus 10.5, minus 108 against the Broncos. Ravens minus 3.5, minus 105 against the Titans. Vikings minus 3, minus 102 against the Bears. Colts plus 4, minus 110 against the Jaguars. Seahawks plus 136 against the Bengals. Panthers plus 13.5, minus 105 against the Dolphins. Saints, Texans under 41.5, minus 110. Browns plus 5, minus 108 against the 49ers. Commanders, Falcons over 41.5, minus 112. Patriots, Raiders under 41, minus 110. Eagles minus 6.5, minus 110 against the Jets. Rams minus 6, minus 110 against the Cardinals. Lions minus 3.5, minus 102 against the Buccaneers. Bills minus 14, minus 110 against the Giants. Chargers plus 2.5, minus 110 against the Cowboys. And that's it. My five best bets for this week. Chiefs minus 10.5 against the Broncos on Thursday Night Football. Seahawks plus 2.5 against the Bengals. Lions minus 3.5 against the Buccaneers. Colts plus 4 against the Jaguars. I didn't put the Vikings on this. Colts plus 4 against the Jaguars. And then my fifth, I guess, is Vikings minus 2.5 against the Bears. If you're curious what game I had on that, I actually had the Panthers plus 13.5 against the Dolphins, but that gets bumped out now in favor of the Vikings. So Chiefs, Seahawks, Lions, Colts, Vikings. Chiefs, Seahawks, Lions, Colts, Vikings are my five best bets for week 6. My teaser bet of the week. I think the past couple of weeks I've given out 7-point teasers. I'm supposed to be giving out 6-point teasers. I don't know why I switched to 7 randomly. So I'm back to 6-point teasers. Cheated there for a couple weeks. I will go Seahawks from plus 2.5 up to plus 8.5. That crosses the key numbers of both 3 and 7. I'd be shocked if the Bengals can win this game by 9 or more points. So Seahawks plus 8.5. And I'll take the Rams from minus 6.5 down to minus 0.5. So basically turns into a Rams pick'em against the Cardinals. So Seahawks plus 8.5 against Bengals. Rams minus 0.5 against the Cardinals. My 6-point teaser of the week. And finally, Survivor. For the few of you who might still be alive in a Survivor pool, or if you're in one of those Survivor pools where you can buy back in after you lose, and you've done that. I actually didn't write my notes which way I'd go with Survivor, so let's just take a quick look-see here. If you haven't used the Vikings yet, I like them against the Bears. Wow, I actually don't love a lot of Survivor options. I mean, use the Bills. If you haven't used the Bills, I mean, there's going to be no better chance than at home against the worst team in the NFL and the Giants. So if you haven't used the Bills, use the Bills. I don't care. We're week six. Use a good team. Some people get caught up in not wanting to use good teams, and then they lose before they use a good team. Pick the Bills this week if you have the Bills left. You could take the Chiefs on Thursday night. Outside of that, if you want a sneaky pick, most of the teams I like are underdogs, though. I don't know. Is there a good sneaky pick? Rams? Might be a good week to take the Rams at home against the Cardinals. So I'll say Rams for a sneaky pick. Other than that, if you have the Bills still left to use, use the Bills against the Giants. Please, just do that. Live to fight another day. This has been the NFL Week 6 episode of the Bacon Bets podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. Like and subscribe. Rate and review the podcast. All that good stuff. I appreciate all of you who have been doing that. I think that's it. Gambler bless. I wish you all good luck with your bets this week. Let's keep the momentum going. Let's try to have another profitable week this week. Yeah, gambler bless. The road to 272 bets continues. I will talk to you all next week.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.